స్మృతిపురాణామాలయం భగవత్పాదశంకరం లోకశంకరం అజ్ఞానకలుషం జీవం జ్ఞానాభ్యాసాద్ది నిర్మలం కృత్వా జ్ఞానం స్వయం నశ్యేత్ జలం కతకరేణువత్. సో దేర్ ఇస్ ది జీవ, టు బిగిన్ విత్ దేర్ ఇస్ ది జీవ. ద జీవ బికమ్స్ ద శివ బై జ్ఞాన. సి బై జ్ఞాన బికమ్స్ ది శివ మీన్స్ హీ మస్ట్ బి ఆల్రెడీ శివ. దెన్ ఓన్లీ హీ కెన్ బికమ్ శివ బై జ్ఞాన, బికాస్ జ్ఞాన కెనాట్ క్రియేట్ ఎనీథింగ్ న్యూ. Jnana can only illuminate what is already there. Anyway, so to begin with the jiva. And what kind of jiva? Ajnana kalusham. The jiva who is sullied by ignorance. So you have to look at it like that. This personality that I am holding on to, I am such and such person. So that personality is ajnana kalusham. It is very much sullied by ignorance. So, it is something like as if we have two selves. One self sullied by ignorance and another self pure by knowledge. Jnana bhyasad vinirmalam. The self which is very pure, vinirmalam, by the practice of jnana. So, jnana abhyasa. So, now we have two selves. A self, you say, take it like that. It is something like you have a cloth, a piece of cloth, which is very dirty. And so, you wash it thoroughly, it becomes very clean. It is as if you have two cloths. Not really two cloths, but you can talk like that, you know. I had a dirty cloth, after washing, now I have a pure cloth, something like that. So, we have two selves. One self, very much sullied by ignorance, and the other self, made pure by knowledge. So, in fact, this ignorant self is the apparent self. That's why knowledge, you know. It is like you have serpent by ignorance. And then knowledge comes, ignorance goes, serpent goes, the rope is. So it is as if you have two things there, as if. To begin with, serpent, and finally the rope. Serpent is a mithya, unreal, but appeared due to ignorance, so something like that. That's why apparent. Therefore the apparent self is the ignorant self, and it is the outer self. Outer self means what? You can define it in every possible way. Like you say, I am 5 feet 10 inches. That is outer self, right? And I am a male, outer self. I was born in India, in every application form, name, father's name. Father's name must be there. Otherwise, the original name, 10,000 people will have it. Srinivas, in Andhra Pradesh, so there are millions of Srinivas. No, Srinivas K. There are thousands of Srinivas K. So how to separate them? So some now. Then that gets hopefully distinct. Therefore you have to say father's name. And immediately comes caste. Every application form is like that. As long as I was filling the application forms, it was like that. So, now in the immigration form, fortunately they are not asking caste. Therefore, that habit has gone. Otherwise you have to write the caste. So, therefore caste is also an attribute of the outer self. You write it there. And then, so this is the outer self. And you wear a dress Like the doctor's dress you wear, then you are a doctor. A nurse's dress you wear, so you are a nurse. This is the outer self. And people take the outer self to the real. And it is very much apparent, and it is outer. Outer means some of that is visible even to the other people. And some of that is visible to you only. Like you smile. Therefore the other person thinks you are a happy person. But inside you are very unhappy. Therefore, this unhappy aspect of the outer person, outer self, is not known to the other person. Because you put a face, I mean you put a facade or whatever. But it is known to you. Therefore it is outer. Whatever is known to you is other than you, therefore it is outer. Other than you, but taken as yourself. So this is the outer self. Very much a sullied. I am saying sullied again and again, because that is meaning of the word kalusha. Kalusha is sullied. You can have many other words also, but for the present I am saying sullied. Or you may say contaminated, made impure. You should not say impured. So in America you can say. In America you can say impured. Say it. So, I remember in the high school, the degrees are there. Normal, it is not normal, comparative, superlative. So, like that, it is not normal, something, it is called something. Good, better, best. Okay? The teacher, you get one mark. In the exam, he will give the word, you tell the other two, you will get one mark. So, this boy, the teacher asked, bad, you say? Then the boy said, badder, baddest. And the teacher gave him a slap. And we all laughed, because he made a silly mistake. But the other day, in CNN, I was listening to an interview, and this interviewer asked a question. The person replies, it is badder, badder. So the boy, he sees it, then he will ask the teacher, why you beat me? And I am correct after all. Therefore in America, all these things will be so impure. I don't feel good in saying like that. Anyway, ajnana kalusham jivam. So the jiva very much contaminated by the ignorance. You know how contaminated, you know? This ignorant self, it claims to be an individual, separate from everything else. What is the individual? The being. What is everything else? The being. Mountain. It is mountain or mountain is. Is it there or not? It should be there. Before you call it a mountain, it should be there and recognized as such. First, you recognize it as something which is, and then project the name based on the form, mountain. Therefore, it is not just mountain, it is something which is called mountain. River, something which is called river. Tree, something which is called tree. Everything is a being. Therefore, now the being is divided. The being, which is multiple, tukda, 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 piece, 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 like that being, which is the jagat. And I am the being, separate from the jagat. God is the being, separate from everything else, somewhere above. So this is how the existence is divided, due to ignorance. Suppose, when I said existence is divided due to ignorance, then it goes without saying that the existence is one without the second. The division is false, because it is the division is due to ignorance. So you please remember, jo ajnan se hota hai, wo asal mein nahi hota hai. Whatever happens by ignorance doesn't really happen. In Hindi it sounds very nice, but in English also you have to translate. So, therefore, this apparent self, the unreal self, claims to be a person. And therefore, as such, separate from every other person, separate from everything else. And this apparent self calls itself by a name. What is your name? Name is very crucial. In a given context, it is all fine. So, under this apparent self is always seeking its own advantage. You please understand the depth of ignorance that governs this apparent self. It takes itself to be a person, separate from everything else. Having done so, it seeks its own advantage. In interacting with the world, it seeks its own advantage. Then it puts a shrine there, temple or a murti, idol, and worships God, seeking its own advantage. You see, a person performed penance, tapas, Bhagavan appeared. Beta, I will give you a boon. What do you want? Then he said, I want moksha. So, then Bhagavan said, I want truth, satyam. He wanted truth. Then Bhagavan said, knowing satyam is such a pious thing that it requires a lot of merit, punya. And therefore, I will grant the knowledge of satyam to you, but by the time you know the truth, all your merit accumulated over births, multiple births, would have been expended. And therefore, your merit account becomes zero. Then, but the papa still remains, whatever little or more, now that becomes 100%, because merit became zero, you know, all of it is expended. And then immediately you will go to hell. Therefore, you want satyam. Then said Bhagavan, keep it with you. No. You understand? Therefore, in studying Vedanta also people seek self-advantage of the individual, of the person. You see, Vedanta is, they just miss the entire spirit of Vedanta. In Vedanta, please be warned, by the time you know the self, you will not be there. You will not be there. Jab khuda milta hai, khud gayab hota hai. There is a statement like that. By the time you realize the truth, you will not be there. Oh, I will not be there. No, you will not be there. Then I am not in a hurry for the truth. So even seeking truth, you seek a self-advantage. Then one devotee was worshipping God. Then God said, you are worshipping me so much. So I have a habit of taking away everything from my devotees. I have that habit. That is what Bhagavan said. So, yasyanugraham icchami, tasya vittam haramyaham, bhagavatam. So when I want to bless somebody, I take away all his wealth. That is what Bhagavan told him. Then he said, okay, thank you for telling me that. I stop worshipping you. So, even in worshipping, just I am telling you how people worship God, they think they are worshipping God. Worshipping God means what? You are doing things, great things to God. So it looks as if you are giving the great advantage to God. Are you doing so? No. You are not giving any advantage to God. In fact, you are out to grab. You are a go-getter. So this small self, this ignorant self, is always seeking its own advantage. Then this ignorant self is anxious. Anxious. Very, very, it is anxious. Why anxious? Because things may not happen to my favor. Anxious. Always anxious. You see, a city dweller tells a village folk, I am in a rush. I have to go immediately. Come on, stop. Immediately I have to go. Then the village folk said, I see all these city dwellers always rushing and rushing and rushing. They are always looking to the future. No surprise that you have a stomach problem all the time. That is what he told. So, this guy, this small self, is anxious. Anxious about what? About everything. Always anxious. You look at yourself and ask the question, am I anxious all the time? Yes. Sometimes it is clearly defined, the anxiety. You are standing at the bus stop. Oh my God, I have an urgent meeting. Will the bus come in time or not? So you are anxious. There is anxiety well writ on the face. We understand. Now you are sitting at home. Newspaper reading was over. And you are just sitting there. You are anxious. Why? Why? Therefore, that subconscious anxiety is always there. An undefined anxiety is always there. In meditation, I feel like making people sit and do meditation. Only one meditation. Only one point. The point is just be relaxed. Let go. That is all I want to do meditation. I don't want to do anything more than that. For half an hour I want to do that. You know why? People are anxious. Naturally, normally anxious. Occasionally they forget their anxiety. When they're off, they forget their anxiety. When they attend a Vedanta class, they forget their anxiety. And when they go to a movie, they become one with the hero and become anxious on behalf of the hero. Because the villain has abducted the heroine. He has taken away the heroine and he has put her in some secret place. And what will happen to her? The hero is anxious. And we identify with the hero. On his behalf we become anxious. That is fine. When you are anxious, therefore it gives you a time, an opportunity to relax in a way, hopefully. Whereas by the time you finish the movie, you are getting up. In India, the movie ends with Shubham. He is blessing because now you have to go home. And the travel is a travail. And then at home the family is waiting. So many anxieties are waiting in the poor guy. You had your take of some comfort for 2.5 hours. In India, movies are long. Okay, they are not like Hollywood movies, they are not short. Hollywood movie, 1.5 hours. Minimum Indian movie must be 2.5 hours. We want the film for our expenditure, you know. So, therefore, Shubham, may God bless you. Because his anxiety begins. The moment I get up, I am hungry. I have to travel 10 miles. What will my father say when I go home late? All anxieties begin. A family man, he will have his anxieties. So people are anxious. Can you believe it? They are anxious. They are in Canada, which is the best country in the world to live. There is no better place to live on this earth. It is God's own country. They live in Canada. They make good money. They live in a spacious home. They have children. They have job. They have everything, and along with everything, they have anxiety. Very sad saga of human existence. So this is the small self. It is anxious, and occasionally it is cheerful. The small self, mostly it is afraid, and then occasionally it is bold. Kabhi kabhi, now and then bold. The small self, ajnana kalusham jivam, I am describing. The small self is lustful. And occasionally when its desire is thwarted, the small self becomes enraged. And the small self hungry, because identification with the body is there. Hunger is there. I am not talking about hunger. Hunger is natural. And hungry, I identify with the hunger. Say, I am hungry. Which is wrong. You are not hungry. Pranamaya kosha is hungry. You are not pranamaya kosha. There are 5 koshas, you know. So therefore, and thirsty. Pranamaya Kosha has thirst. I assume that I am thirsty, sleepy. So the three avasthas, Jagrata, Swapna, Sushupti, they belong to the small self, apparent self. They do not happen to Atma. Just like the day, the twilight zone, and the night. Diva, Sandhya, Ratrihi. Ratri is also called Dosha. So, day, Sandhya, evening time, and night. Do they happen to the earth or do they happen to the heaven, to the sun? They happen to the earth. Nothing ever happens to the sun. Sun doesn't have day, night, all these things. Similarly, the real self doesn't have waking state, dream state, and sleep state. They happen to the mind-identified apparent self only. And so the body-identified apparent self, sometimes cold, sometimes hot. Body-identified. Sukha, Shita, Ushna. And then the body-identified apparent self is sometimes sick, sometimes healthy. And this body-identified apparent self is young or old. So, therefore, this apparent self is ever-altering, ever-changing. It is never the same. You look at this apparent self. Please look at it. Ajnana kalusham jeva. You see, there was a childhood. In the childhood, you were a person. Meaning, you had a personality. Personality imagined by the mind, projected by the mind. The childhood personality is very unique, very characteristic of the childhood. For example, I remember my personality as a child. So, we had some interest in studies. And then, we used to play all kinds of games. So, these marbles and these cigarette packets will be there, you know. And somebody smokes and he throws the cigarette packet. And what is useless for him is a big prize for us. Is a prize. And one day, a person came to our village. We had plenty of Charminar cigarette packets with us. We never had a 555. And this guy smokes a 555. It is said that Charminar cigarette is hot, whereas 555 cigarette is cool. That was said like that, I don't know. And then we noticed that he is smoking triple five cigarettes. So they are smuggled in those days. So that was Nehruvian socialism, where you have to smuggle cigarettes also. Anyway, so we were waiting when he will throw that packet. And then he threw the packet. And I got it. Half a dozen of my colleagues were also waiting. So I beat them in that race and got the packet. And carefully held it in a very secretive way. And next day, I have 555. My God, really? Yes. No, we don't believe you're bluffing. Come on, I never bluff. And show it in a game. That was the personality. They were very real. My mother threw away my marbles. I fought bitterly with her. How dare you do such a thing? She was taken aback and told, "Arey bhai, you are so much attached to those silly marbles. You do like this. I have thrown them just by the side of the wall at this point. Go and get it." So immediately I jumped to the wall and got all my marbles. That was my personality. Was it real? Appeared real at that time. Now appears silly. But at that time it appeared real. And then I went to university. What happened to that personality? It has changed. Therefore, you call yourself a person, but please understand, the person that you imagine yourself to be, that is the Ajnana Kalusham Jeevam, is the most changeful thinking. So, when the stock is up, you are one kind of a person. And when the stock dips, you are a different person. You are not the same person anymore. Before 9/11, And after 9/11, not only the building came down, but many personalities came down. Because stock has dipped, people became paupers, and the personalities have gone. Changed. They became different. Are you following what I am saying? I am telling you, I am challenging you. You are a person now, a particular kind of person, as I described above. After 5 years, do you think this person, same person will remain? No. You will be a different person. So this person is changing by the day. The most changeful thing it is. That is the Ajnana Kalusha Jiva. Then, come to the real self. How would it be, the real self? So, Vinirmalam Jivam. How do you become the Vinirmala Jiva, and the pure, very pure Jiva? How? Jnanabhyasa. You have to practice Jnana. That is the topic for the present. And so we will discuss that point and then go to the next class. So you have to practice Jnana. But then as and when you practice Jnana, all this Ajnana will be gone. In fact, Swami Vivekananda described the Ajnana as a bundle of layers. We take it like that. Layer, another layer, another layer. Like that layer after layer of ignorance, you have to peel off, you have to take away. So that is called Jnanabhyasat Vinirmala. As you practice Jnana, so one layer after the other of Jnana will be peeled off. Sri Ramakrishna described this practice as the onion, you know, onion. Take the onion. Take off one layer. And then take off one more layer. Then the third layer. The fourth layer. Then finally, one last layer will be there. You take off. What will remain? Nothing. Nothing remains. That is Shunyavada. That is Buddhism. All pervasive Akasha remains. That is Advaita Vedanta. How close they are, you see? So when you remove the last layer, don't think there is some globule-like thing will be remaining there. No, nothing remains. Only space remains. Space is a shunya, void. That is one siddhanta. Space is all pervasive. That is Advaita Vedanta. Whatever it is, that is not the point now. Therefore, by the time you remove the layer after layer of this personality, it is there. For example, you look at the sphere. You examine the sphere. It is part of that Jnana Kalusha Jiva, the ignorant Jiva. Fear rules his life. Fear, multiple forms of fear. Anxiety is a form of fear. Worry, anxiety, insecurity, they are all forms of fear. And so, suppose there is a way to overcome the fear, and therefore you practice it. And now the fear is gone. You know what happened? One big, powerful layer of ignorance is gone from your personality. Then take up desire. People, for no reason, they desire things. Their car is running presently well, they want another car, or they want a different car. They have I knew a person. How people create troubles for themselves. I remember the episode. He purchased a car. It was white. But the dealer promised him red car. He wanted red car. Same model. New. But the red car was not available. This person went with the money and all that. Somehow he has persuaded this man and sent him with a white car. Red cars will come after 3 months. Now there is a queue, this and that. This man believed and brought the white car grudgingly. He brought it home. Next day, his friend purchased the car, and that was a red car from the same dealer. This person felt he was cheated by the dealer. What is there to cheat? He cheated also. But you can say, what is there to cheat? Doesn't matter. It is running all right. It's a good car. This man went to the agent and asked a question. So, It began as a small episode and it became a fight. Then this man wanted to file a suit against him. You say, how you create a trouble for yourself? What is there in it? Is there any value in all that? There is no value. This is how people are. They just imagine. And most of the things, if not all of the things, most of the things, if not all, that people desire are meaningless. So we live a life of utterly meaningless desires and equally meaningless actions. You don't need to desire all the things that you desire. Even a small desire initiates a long chain of action. Just now I described you the chain of action. One thing leading to the other, to the other, to the other. So you create problems for yourself this way and then blame planets and stars and God. So my planets were not in good place, therefore I got white car instead of red car. What nonsense are you talking? Suppose you develop a consciousness in which there is no desire. There is no desire. There is no desire means there is no stress. Because desire is stress, there is no stress. There is freedom. Instant freedom. Therefore, another layer, very weighty layer of ignorance is peeled off. Like that, ajnana kalusham jivam jnana abhyasat vinirmanam. So, this pure jiva, let us call him jiva only. Shiva he did not say. You can say Shiva. Ajnana kalusha is jiva. Jnana abhyasat vinirmala is a Shiva. You can say like that. But for the present, let us take two types of jiva. So the jiva who is very pure. So this pure jiva is unchanging. Changeless. Kutastha, they say. Like the anvil of a blacksmith, it doesn't undergo any change. It is kutastha. The changeless. You see, what is your body? Ever changing. The mind, ever changing. So there is a law. These are all laws of Vedanta. I say law because they are as precise as any physical or mathematical law. Very precise. What is the law? The changeful must have a changeless background. That is the law. Unless there is a changeless background, you cannot have a change. Change demands a changeless background. If there is no changeless background, there will be no change. Suppose you sit in a train and the train is moving forward. Suppose the rails also move forward. Then will you go any place? You will not go anywhere. You will stay where you are. Just to imagine, you sit in the train in Toronto station and the train starts, the rail also starts. The pair of rails are there, you know, they also start moving. The train picks up speed, the rails also pick up speed. Then after 10 minutes, where will you be? You will be where you started. So, but that doesn't happen like that, you know. You make a lot of progress. Why? Because the rails are changeless. They don't move. The same thing is happening in you. The mind is moving. The body is moving. The mind is moving. There must be the motionless or changeless background. That is the Atma. Therefore, this pure jiva is changeless. That's why we call him kutastha. And then the pure jiva is not a person. He is not a person. He is an impersonal reality. You have to think about it. This is the crux of Vedanta. You see, I tell you, you have a desire. That is, you are a very much person, crystallized person. Right? You have a worry. You are very much a person. Suppose I crack a joke, some silly joke. If you laugh, I feel that my joke is good. Suppose you refuse to laugh and look at me with a stern face, then I feel a bit embarrassed. Just now I told a joke to these guys. Why they sit like idols like that? I feel embarrassed. Right? Suppose I tell a joke, some silly joke I tell. I'm not good in telling jokes, but somehow I create something and tell. Then you laugh, suppose. Heartily you laugh. A few moments, you are not a person. You are not a person. Not only that, not only laughing. Suppose you are walking, it's a bear country. You are walking. Suddenly you say bear, looking at you. Then you are stunned. You are not a person. You are not a person. You take to your heels immediately. You don't calculate and all that. There is no desire also. Let me become free of this bear. The desire is also not there. I am afraid of this bear. Even that feeling is not there. All emotions, all thoughts come to an end. And you take to heels. This is called flight reaction. And for a few seconds, for a certain length of time, as you are running away from the bear, you are not a person. And then suddenly, after gaining some safe distance from the bear, the personality will come back. And now you cannot run that well anymore. That is not the point. The point is, there is an occasion in the wakeful state itself in which you are not the person that you suppose yourself to be. You are sleeping and you have a dream. In dream, you are a different person. And that person gets negated next day morning. And in sleep, you are a no person. Therefore, your personality is a myth it is. Anything that changes is unreal. How do you define unreal? Asat. Asatya. You ask me, hey dear friend, give me $1,000 loan. I say, yes, I will give you. Evening certainly I will give you. So evening you come and meet me. I say, oh, sorry, I don't have. I may not be able to give you. But morning you said like that. No, I did not say anything in the morning. I am saying I will not give you. So what will you say? You are telling an untruth. Therefore, I will bring you the definition of unreal or untruth. Untruth is that which changes. Truth is that which does not change. These are the laws of Vedanta. Therefore, Nityam is Satyam. Nityam, the changeless, is Satyam, the truth. Anityam is Asatyam. The changeful is the untruth, unreal. Therefore, this changeless jiva, who is a pure consciousness which has not crystallized into the form of a personality, which is not crystallized. The crystallization did not happen. Crystallization means a separation from the whole. That did not happen. In Sanskrit, we have a beautiful word for that. Kilya Bhava. It comes from Rudra Upanishad. So suddenly there is a crystallization. As it crystallizes, still it is connected to the whole, but appears as to differ from the whole. So that crystallization into a personality is not there. That kind of a consciousness it is, pure consciousness. So it is not a person. And then you see that impersonal reality, it is there in me, it is there in you. There is a person in me, there is a person in you. The person is the false or ajnana kalusam jivam. Naturally, it is obvious that the person in me is not the same as the person in you, a different person. But the impersonal reality in me and the impersonal reality in you cannot be different. If you say they are different, it becomes a fallacy of logic. reductio ad absurdum. There is some such thing. It's a logic, mathematical logic. Reductio ad absurdum. So, it becomes a logical fallacy. Because, so now let us see, necklace and a bracelet. Let us say, bracelet. What is necklace? Something, let us say X, plus a particular shape and qualities. X plus Q, Q1, is necklace, right? Bracelet, something X dash plus Q2, a set of shape, qualities and a particular shape. You got it? Now, Q1 is obviously different from Q2. Now, the question is whether X and X dash are same or different. Okay? They are same. They are same. X and X dash. X is good. X dash is also the same good. Suppose X and X dash are different. Let us say. So, once again, you have come to the point where you started with the necklace and the bracelet. They are different, you know. You have now come to the point, X and X dash, the same situation. X and X dash are different. Then you have to tell how they are different. X has one set of qualities and X dash has another set of qualities, you have to tell. But then you cannot tell that like that, because when we asked what is the necklace, you said X plus Q1. And that Q1 incorporates all the qualities. Therefore, X must be totally devoid of qualities. Now again you are saying X has some qualities. Therefore, this is reductio ad absurdum. Got it? Therefore, X and X dash cannot have different qualities. Why? Because the qualities are already taken care of by Q1 and Q2, which are separate, which are different from each other. Therefore, X is equal to X dash. Right? Similarly, the impersonal reality in me is the same as the impersonal reality in you. My God. This is something. I will give you a practical way of looking at it. A tree is growing. So, it gets the life. There is life which makes the tree grow. Then there is another tree by the side. It is also growing. That means there is life in that tree which makes it grow. Now you have to tell me, the tree A and the tree B, the life that makes them grow, is it the same life or is it different life? Same life. In fact, the same life makes the entire forest grow. Okay? That is not difficult to understand. But now, this is a bit more difficult. Here, some abhyasa, jnana abhyasa is required. How? The life that makes the tree grow, and the life that makes the bird fly. Tree means you got it readily, because they are side by side, they look alike and all that. Now, the life that makes the tree grow and the life that makes the bird fly, is it different or is it the same? It is the same. That you have to practice. Jnana abhyasa comes there. So, therefore, you see, suppose you say Purana drishti, how one jiva became the tree, did a lot of papam, and therefore became the tree. Another jiva did less papam, therefore became the bird. Now you are talking the language of division. You can talk like that. Q1 plus Q1, Q2, I told you. That also you can talk. That is called Purana. Whereas Vedanta, Q1 and Q2, keep them aside. The X and X dash, look at that. The life that makes the tree grow and the life that makes the bird fly is the same life. And that is the life which makes me speak. And that is the life which makes you hear. A poet said, I sing the poem and I enjoy the poem by hearing to it myself. That is what he said. Then somebody asked, that means there is no audience for you? There is no audience for you? Then the poet said, no, I have a very big audience. Then how come you say I enjoy the poem by him listening to it? I am listening to it, I am enjoying it by listening to it, because I am the audience. I am not separate from the audience. That's why I said like that. You see, one Mahatma is giving a lecture and then suddenly said, I am giving the lecture and I am also sleeping. Then the people, you are not sleeping, you are giving the lecture. Then, your neighbor is sleeping, I am that only. Really, it is that. You have to practice. This is jnana. You have to practice it a bit. You have to practice it. So there is a practice also. Yeah, there is meditation and all that there is to it. So, you see, I tell you, you have to try it. You have to try it. You have to explore. So, I am standing before a tree. This is called a tree meditation. You try this. Tree meditation. Vruksha dhyana. Vruksha ivastabdho divitishthatye kaste medam purnam purushena sarvam. You must have heard this. So, nakarmana comes later. So this is the vruksha dhyana. The mantra is, I took the dhyana from the mantra only. So look at the tree. Now, don't give a name to it. It's a banyan tree or paper tree. Your knowledge of biology or taxonomy, don't bring all that into account. Drop all that. Just look at it. Don't give any name. Don't even call it a tree. The mind wants to name it. Mind is like that. Mind cannot remain at ease unless it names and categorizes everything. So look at a person, he is a Brahmana. Look at another person, he doesn't belong to our group. Like that, the mind is very busy categorizing. It is like you go to a shop, saris or shirts, whatever. Oh, this shirt is useless. Oh, this is cotton, I don't like. Oh, this is not a good make. Like that, you'll be judging every item. You have to do that because you have to pick up one shirt out of 100 shirts. That is what the mind is. You'll be all the time judging, labeling, categorizing, projecting, all those things you'll be doing. That is what mind does. You think mind is knowing. This is the knowing. There is no knowing in it. So, therefore, don't look at the tree with the usual mind. Initially, the mind gets baffled because he doesn't know how to look at the tree without categorizing it, without labeling it, without judging it. Hey, this is a very beautiful tree. You are judging it. Don't judge. Hey, this is banyan tree. Don't name it. Hey, this is a tree. Don't give even that name. I hope you are getting what I am saying. So look at it. There is another way of saying it. Look at the tree with the total attention. What is total attention, you know? Total attention is that in which even the thought doesn't interfere. Thought doesn't interfere. You don't allow the thought to come in the way. That kind of attention. You do that. Select a good tree. Because a silly tree is likely to distract you in the beginning. Later, jnanabhyasa, a blade of grass is enough. It cannot, even a blade of grass is enough to look at it the way I am suggesting. Take a good, substantial, beautiful tree so that it captures your attention and drop the mind. And look at it. Now, I am the one who is seeing the tree, that is the tree seen by me, this subject-object division vanishes. Because subject-object division is the job of the mind. And now mind is not operating, therefore subject-object division drops. It will not be there. Then what will be there? Somehow, I cannot explain it, you practice it and you explore it. You have to know it by yourself. I can only point out like this, pointing finger. So, somehow, I feel no difference between myself, the being, and the thing which is also the being. I do not feel the difference. Somehow, it is the continuum of the same being. The being that is, and the being I am, are somehow, in an inexplicable manner or fashion, they are one and the same. You experience or feel that oneness of existence. Not oneness of Mr. Swami with the tree. How Mr. Swami can be one with the tree? But here Mr. Swami is not Mr. Swami. Tree is not the tree. Both are the same being. You feel that oneness. Therefore, this is how when you practice that jnana, atma jnana, you discover the oneness of being. And that oneness of the being is the real self, true self. Therefore, now what happens, you know, the ajnana kalusha jiva is separate from every other jiva, but the jnanabhyasa vinirmala jiva is it's a different jiva. Now what happens? There is no myself and there is no yourself. There is only one self, which is the self of all. It is called Sarvatma Bhava. Therefore, you love thy neighbor. Why? Why should I love my neighbor? Because he is the same self as you happen to be. And the entire universe is your neighbor. Love thy enemy. Why should I love my enemy? How can I love my enemy? You can love your enemy because, truly speaking, he happens to be the same self as you are. You have to reach there. That is the goal of Vedanta. Goal of Vedanta is not some silly thing. People come for Vedanta and ask, Swamiji, my son is appearing for MCET exam. Please bless him so that he will pass. Okay, I'll bless. Finally, he has to do well and pass in the competitive exam. You ask me to bless, I bless. So you feel satisfied and go home. And miss the whole point of coming to the Vedanta, coming to a Mahatma. Because you are distracted by too many ways. If it is there on the side way, no problem. I'm just giving an illustration. Suppose your interaction with a Mahatma is at that level for 20 years. Then what is it that you have learned from the Mahatma? And what is the Mahatma is doing with you? He should have dismissed you long back. He is entertaining you still means what? What does it prove? What kind of a message it conveys? So, I get a phone call. Swamiji, we are coming. For what? I ask him. For what? To have darshan. No, I am not an idol of Sri Rama or Sri Krishna here. I am not granting any darshans. You come to the evening class, you can have darshan as well as class also. No, Swamiji, we are going to the flight tonight. Just we want to have darshan, there is no time for class. So you do like this, you come to the class, have my darshan and go away from the distance. What darshan? What do you mean by darshan? Am I an idol sitting like that and you come and do darshan and namaskar and all that? I refuse it. No, Swamiji, I want to discuss a thing with you. What is that you want to discuss? What is it? No, about my son. Tell me now. Telephones are there for what? In Hyderabad, the roads are full of traffic. Are you crazy or what? You are 10 miles away, don't come. Tell me what it is. He tells and I discuss. If there is a real reason, please come. Take time and I will wait there. Come. Otherwise, I will be sitting there giving darshan to people and collecting goodies and then piling them up. What kind of a job it is? What will I do with all those goodies? And if I collect all the money, what will I do with all that money? It becomes a noose around my neck. So, no darshan. So I said all that because at what level you are interacting with a Mahatma? At the Ajnana Kalusha Jiva level you are interacting. For a decade you are doing the same thing. You should not do that. Jnana Bhyasad Vinirmana. It should be like that. So, you see, Bhagavan Buddha noticed two of the bhikshus, many disciples, all are sannyasis, you know, sangha. Sangham sharanam nichyami. Sangha is the group of sannyasis. And so two of them quarreling with each other on some silly point. So he calls both of them and calls them separately and tells them, you practice watching the breath continuously for 1 month. Go for begging, get your arms, eat it, take whatever rest you have to take and practice the breath, watching the breath for 1 month and meet me after 1 month. So they do that. And after 1 month he asks, what happened to your ill will towards that other person? What happened to that quarrel between you? They said, we forgot it long back. We don't have any quarrels. It was silly that we were fighting at the time. We are sorry for that. Now it is behind us. We are beyond that, and we are buddies. We are bosom good friends. That is what they said. This is how the Vipassana meditation originated in the world. That is the gift of Bhagavan Buddha to the mankind. So you have to do jnanabhyasa. So jnanabhyasa will help to overcome the raga and the dvesha. That is again coming later in the next verse. So that makes your heart pure. When the heart is pure, the divisions will vanish. You start feeling that oneness with all. That oneness. A person is abusing you, still you feel the oneness. And the person is showering praises upon you, you feel the oneness. The person is pulling your leg there, you still feel the oneness. You are willing to bless and love in spite of the misbehavior of the person. That kind of ekatma bhava, also called as sarvatma bhava, you grow into it. Once you grow into sarvatma bhava, you are the God. God is called sarvatma. You have to worship the God who is sarvatma. There is a mantra. Sarvatma me priyatam. May God, who is the Atma of all, bless me. That is the mantra. So, you grow into that. Therefore, anyway, this real self, the changeless real self, in contrast to the apparent self, the changeless real self is the same self. It is equally within every human being, nay, every living being. And in every living creature, the same self is there. In the vegetable kingdom also, the same self is there. So, and this way, within you, as you sit here and now, there is the person, the mythical mind created, imaginary person, a product of imaginations. There is a person in you. That is the Ajnana Kalusha Jiva. For God's sake, drop that person. You practice the dismantling of that person, piece by piece. That person is in the form of ego. Ego is the same as the person. So that person, or I will say persona. Now you get it? There is a persona. That persona, which is the egoic self, you have to dismantle the egoic self. That is called jnanabhyasa. Then having dismantled the egoic self, should we strive to catch hold of the real self? We need not. Because dismantling of the egoic self is equivalent to catching the real self. They are one and the same thing. It is like the disease is dispelled by the medicine. Disease is gone, but I have yet to get the health. Is it like that? No. The dispelling of the disease is the same as getting the health. I have eaten the food, hunger has yet to go. Is it like that? No. Even as you are eating the food, the hunger is being driven away. They are one and the same. It is a unitary process, they call. It is not a two-step process. It's a unitary process. Even as the ignorance is dispelled, the real self shines in all glory. So, how to practice this jnana? So we have come to that. So till now I have discussed one point, namely the ajnana kalusha jiva versus vinirmala jiva. How the ajnana jiva comes to the level of or state of vinirmala jiva jnana abhyasa, the panchami vibhakti, the karana, that is that you have to practice jnana. Now, what is the practicing of jnana? So, where should we go now? To Hrishikesh? People think like that. They go to Hrishikesh. I knew a gentleman. He wanted to practice jnana. Therefore, he took a flight and went to Hrishikesh. Hrishikesh is a pilgrimage town. And there are not one bug, multiple bugs are there. Some of them deserve the category of superbug. Really? Superbug is also called New Delhi bug? Whatever. So, in Hrishikesh, it is a pilgrimage town. All kinds of bugs are there. Some of them are not even recorded in microbiology. So, New Year bugs, you know. So, they are all there. Yes, we are also there. But in Hrishikesh, they abound. Okay, this guy went there, Ganga. Take bath in Ganga and then sit on the banks of the Ganges. The Ganges will be doing the sound gala, 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 constantly. Listen to that sacred sound and take up the mantra. So either Dakshinamurti or whatever. And go on chanting with the Sphatika Mala, he was doing it. Then he caught a bug. A bug has caught him. Became sick, infected. And there are a few doctors around. They give some ampicillin. Ampicillin is the first antibiotic they give. It doesn't work. Ampicillin, it stopped working long back. For 5 years back, it was working, not anymore. Ampicillin plus clavulanic acid, synergistic effect. Synergy. So give it. Even that doesn't work. Oh, these are not working. Let us go to Cipro. Ciproflux, I see. Then Cefoxime. More. Nothing worked. They are not working nowadays. The infections are not getting cured. You know that? They are not getting cured. Clindamycin. Mycin is like an atom bomb. For the bugs at one time, not anymore. Clindamycin doesn't work, erythromycin stopped working long back. Tetramycin or terramycin, those mycins have become obsolete. So nobody knows even the name. So he caught a flight and came back to New York. And then got treated, that bug was treated here. He doesn't go to Hrishikesh anymore. So you want Dhyanabhyasa, you want to do in Hrishikesh? You can do in Hrishikesh, but you can do at home. Suppose you cannot do it here, suppose. I assure you, you will not be able to do in Hrishikesh. If you can do it here, you can as well do in Hrishikesh also. You can go on there and do it. You may ask, if I can do it here, why should I go to Hrishikesh? I am asking the same thing. You tell me. You see, this is not a horizontal movement from here to go to Hrishikesh. Instead of doing jnanabhyasa in the morning, do it in the afternoon. Instead of doing jnanabhyasa with this Mahatma, do with that Mahatma. Or instead of doing jnanabhyasa with Viveka Chudamani, do it with Advaita Makaranda. No, it won't work. Where you are, when you are, is immaterial. We have seen this. The I-amness is independent of space and time. The space-time categories, parameters, don't affect the I-amness. Therefore, be where you are. You need not go anywhere. Some people say, we are born in Kali Yuga. It is our misfortune. Had we been born in Kruta Yuga, by now we would have become jnanis. But we are in Kali Yuga. So throw the blame on the Kali Yuga. This Kali Yuga, etc., don't take it seriously. It is a Purana Drishti. In fact, it is not Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga ended with the advent of Narendra Modi. Kali Yuga ended. I do not consider it as Kali Yuga anymore. Therefore, just be where you are. The time and the place just doesn't matter. Therefore, you need not go anywhere. Okay, we'll be at home. Under what practice we have to do? You see, the word abhyasa, in the conventional sense, that is not the meaning of it. When it comes to, it is not yoga abhyasa. Yoga abhyasa versus jnana abhyasa, they are two different things. Yoga abhyasa means what? Some asana will be there. You have to repeat it. You have to do today morning, tomorrow morning you have to do, day after tomorrow morning you have to do, daily, weekly, 3-4 days minimum you have to do. 4 days or 5 days you should do. And not only that, you reach the posture, the final step of the 1, 2, 3, 4, like Trikonasana. 1, 2, 3, 4. And in the fourth position, that is the actual posture, you have to maintain it for 30 seconds or 1 minute, you have to maintain. Just reach the fourth and come back, nothing will happen. You have to maintain it. That is called yoga abhyasa. Then what is it, jnana abhyasa? Jnana abhyasa is not that kind of a practice. It's not a physical practice. So, really speaking, you need not scale the mountains, you need not cross the rivers, you need not do big rituals, you need not keep fast and all that for lengthy periods. You need not do any of these harsh things. You just learn to relax. Eat properly. See, once Swami Ramatirtha was asked, Swamiji, kindly explain what is jnanabhyasa. Because jnanabhyasa will make you the divinity itself. It takes you away from the bondage of this small self. It's a very big thing it is. So, what you put it in a few preliminary steps for our advance, for our sake. Then the Mahatma said, number 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that, he said, number 1, eat nutritious food in moderate quantities. Number 1. Then somebody asked Mahatmaji, we are talking of ignorant self versus the real self, and you are talking of food. What is this? Then he said, keep quiet, note down. That is the first step for converting the ignorant self into the real self. Really? Amazing observation. Therefore, eat proper food, nutritious food, in moderate quantities. Because you have to come out of tamoguna. The tamoguna will hold you back. And so, tamoguna is in the form of food and laziness. They are together. Certain kinds of food make you lazy. Certain other kinds of food keep you active and energetic. So there is nothing to practice in a physical sense. It is not like, suppose Hatha Yoga people say, if you do Yoga Nidra, you will get moksha. Yoga Nidra is one kind of yoga asana. It is not like that. Here, there is nothing to practice. Some auxiliary disciplines are essential. Even for Jnana Abhyasa, auxiliary discipline means you maintain some good hygiene, wear simple dress. For meditation, you have to wear somewhat loose dress, wear the belt, tie, all those things will not be there. So such auxiliary disciplines you have to maintain. But they are secondary, they are incidental. The main thing, what is Jnana Abhyasa? See, you see, to know yourself, your real self, what you have to do is just be yourself. Now, you may say, what are you talking about? Just be yourself means what? I am already myself? No. You are already not yourself. You are caught in the bondage of the ignorant personal self, mythical self. Don't claim that you are already yourself. You are not. Okay, pa. So how to be the real self? I tell you how to be the real self. You know how to be the real self? Shall I tell you? Okay. Pay attention. Just be. Now, that is simple, yeah? Simple. Truth is always simple. I told you the illustration. Truth is always simple. Just be. But just now you told just be yourself. Now you say just be. Which one we should do? It is one and the same. It is one and the same. It's not two different things. It looks like that. So, drop all these trappings of the false self or imagined personality. Drop all those trappings. Drop all of that. Just be. Suppose I sit in meditation. I am the Swami. TV. Swami TV. From India. That is not meditation. Drop all that. Just be. When you drop all that and just be, then you are yourself. Therefore, Jnana Abhyasa is very simple. To know your real self, just be yourself. You know how difficult it is just to be yourself? You know that? It is very difficult. Suppose you look at me. Suppose I come before you with a profile. With a particular kind of dress and a mala. Mala comes first and the person comes later. So with a mala and with a profile, the facial expression like that or something like that. I come like that, come like this. And one shishya before me and one shishya behind me. And when I come, already the chair is there. I can as well sit in that chair. No, but the shishya first comes there. He just dusts off the chair and puts some mukhamal kind of a thing on that, and then he withdraws politely, very reverentially, then I will come and save it. All that I do, blessing. What is that? Suppose I do that. Suppose I do all that. You tell me, am I just myself, or I am putting a show? I am putting a show. So, if a Swami or a Mahatma is putting a show, then what to speak of the worldly people? The worldly people are putting a show all the time. At least by the time you go home, you should stop putting a show. But you have to put a show before your children. You have to put a show before your wife. You have to put a show before the parents. So at home also put a show. Am I right? Am I speaking some meaningfully? So stop putting a show. You see, people give extraordinary importance to the outward show. That is a huge mistake. You should not do that. You see, you dress in a way that you do not attract much attention. don't quote this address and all that. Just in a normal way I'm telling. I do not attract any attention if I go to Hrishikesh. If I go to Toronto, I will attract attention. If I go to Hrishikesh, I won't attract any attention. So similarly, just dress normally. This is the normal dress of a Swami, therefore I am wearing this. So just dress normally. Do not dress in a particularly attractive way. Do not dress to impress others. Do not speak to impress others. Speak to do your duty. Because speaking is the natural thing to do. Therefore you speak. Don't speak to impress others. To convey a message you have to speak, not to impress others. So this is how. Don't put a facade all the time. Just be yourself. How difficult it is. Very difficult it is. Suppose I come to give a lecture here. I will be comfortable in my lecture before as well as after. Only when I am myself. I should be just myself, nothing else. Don't be this or don't be that. Just be yourself. How difficult it is. That's why you have difficult means it's not like dumbbells or any such thing. Eh? So that is jnanabhyasa, you know. So just be yourself. Then a question is asked. How to be myself? To be yourself. Stop imagining yourself to be this or that. Stop imagining. I am a father. Sir, you are imagining? That is, I am imagining, yes. If you know what I mean, you are imagining. I am a professor. You are imagining. You are a professor before the students. Suppose you enter into a city bus. I am a professor. If you say, what will the answer he will give? You say that in India, you will get a very right answer. You know what the person will say? Saab, ye ghar nahi hai. Give the money. He won't care for your professorship and all that. So he takes 10 rupees and gives the ticket. Therefore, don't say you are a professor. In meditation, I am a professor. You are not a professor. Just be yourself. Then what am I? You are not any of the things that you imagine yourself to be. So, just leave to the mind and stop all kinds of projections about yourself. Stop all that. Just be yourself. By stopping to imagine yourself to be this or that. To put it even more simply, just be. Just be. Then what happens? You know what happens? Your true self emerges. It comes into its own. It is dark outside. Early morning, it is dark outside. You want sunlight. So what you do now? You invite the sun. How can you invite the sun? You do one thing. Sit at the window. Keep the window clean. Remove the curtains. People put elaborate curtains and all that. Why do curtain is meant for what to remove it? So why do put it in the first place? No, sometimes you have to close it. Okay, put it. So remove the curtains. Remove it. You see what happened? I live in G2 Shyam Bhavi apartment. I live there. So what I did. Some of the dhotis which are torn off, old dhotis, I don't throw away anything. In India, we don't throw away anything. Because we have a law. The law is, you keep an object for 7 years before you throw it away. That is the law. Therefore, all these torn clothes, etc., useless dhotis, they are sitting in a bag. Clean. They are sitting. So I took all of them and made curtains. I just tied this end, that end. So that the sun won't come and sit inside. And people will not be able to see me, what I am doing inside and all that. I put all curtains. So some of the students came to take a class. Next day morning they came. And they came and took the class and went away. But they noticed these curtains. Very uneven. So somehow I looked at it from the practical utility point of view. I did not look at the beauty and all that. What is beauty? If you are looking for beauty outside, it only means that you miss the inner beauty. You don't have inner beauty. That's why you want a beauty outside. I don't want the outside beauty. So the people went home and told them at home, these are the curtains that Swamiji has. So some of these ladies came together and they asked how many windows. We forgot to count. You count tomorrow. Next class we count. So they counted and they measured also without my knowledge and brought good curtains. So now I have very wonderful curtains. I don't have any idea of changing them. I am not tired of them. They are doing a great job. I did not even notice their design and all that. They are doing a job. Unless they become dust and fall down, till then I will keep them only. For this life, those curtains are enough. Anyway, that is a digression. So remove the curtain. Clean up the window. The glass, you know, we clean it up. Or open the window and sit there. The sun comes. Plentiful of sunlight will flood into the room. Same way, just be yourself. I am. Not the verbal I am, not the thought I am. The feeling I am. The experiential I am. Which is yourself. Just be. I am is the window to the truth. Truth is in you. Truth won't come from outside. Outside is only the pointing finger. Truth is in you. In fact, truth is you. So, you just be and allow the Atma, the son of Atma to emerge into its soul. You are not going to invite Atma. You are not going to bring it with your effort on that. So, stop all effort. In meditation, drop all effort. Just be. Understand, even thinking is effort. Thinking is effort. So, if there is thinking, allow it to drop. Suppose there is thinking and you become angry, that is some lot more thinking. Worse than the original thinking. So, don't do that. Just smile. Allow the thought to drop. Just be. Remind yourself, just be. Just be yourself. Then you will discover that subconscious anxiety. You will find it. It is there. A little tense feeling you have, you notice it. Don't blame yourself that you have some tension in your system. You have accumulated it. That is what samsara is. Just watch it and it will go. Tell yourself, relax and be yourself. Just be. In that state of meditation, there is no space. You are spaceless. Space is a parameter, is absent. Time as a parameter is absent. You will know the time later, not then. And then division is absent. The sense of division will not be there. While you sit like this and see people, or you open the eyes, you feel the division. I am here, they are there. This is space, this is home. Like that, the division is there. When you sit in meditation and just be yourself, that sense of the other, otherness, is missing. It will vanish. That is called Advaita. That's why it is not so much a Eka as it is Advaita. The absence of the otherness that characterizes that pure being. Just be. This is called Jnanabhyasa. We will have a small meditation. So keep the soles of the feet flat on the floor. Stretch the back as well as you can. Look at the shoulders and the hands. You may find some tenseness. You may allow the shoulders and the hands to relax. Tell yourself, there's nothing to do. meditation is not a doing. It is the being. You be not only alert, but also cheerful by sporting a smile on the lips. Acknowledge the glory of the smile. It makes you joyous for no reason. Tell yourself, I don't need a reason to be joyous. I am naturally joyous. Joyous without a reason. Amazing. I am joyful without a reason. Amazing. That is the true nature. Joyful for no reason. Keep the eyes lightly closed. See, are you pressing the eyelids? Pressing down the eyelids? Don't do that. Keep them lightly closed. Just be. Just be yourself. Don't be this or that. Don't be a mother. Don't be a father. Don't be a son. Don't be this or that. Just be. Be yourself. Don't expect any results. It is the mind's pastime to seek results from everything, including meditation. Don't expect any result. Don't expect anything to happen. Drop all expectation, including that subtle expectation, vasana of expectation. Drop it. Just be yourself. Stop seeking anything, including the self. You don't seek yourself, you just be yourself. Don't seek anything. Just be yourself. Don't try to understand yourself. Because if you understand yourself, that will be the other. Stop the intellectual effort to understand. Drop the intellectual effort. Don't operate the intellect. Without emotions, without any seeking, without any expectation, without any effort to understand, just be yourself. Notice any tension of the invisible burden of samsara. That subtle tension, let go. Let the tension go. If you allow it to go, it will go. Let it go. Any anxiety of the future? Let it go. No future. Let the anxiety go. Simply saying, let go. Very simple. Just be yourself. Let the world go wherever it has to go. Shut off the world from the consciousness. Just be yourself. Just be. Be. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Relax. Sit at ease. Don't be in a hurry to move away from yourself. Fall back into the pure being of yourself as often as you can. Go into the world, but don't forget to fall back into your pure being as often as you can. Fall back into your pure being. That is called jnanabhyasa. Just be. Slowly open the eyes. हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु। We have class tomorrow. There is class tomorrow. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock evening.